In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
So today, what nobody asked about, except obviously everybody who's listening to this, is we are deep into Laguna. And by deep, I mean we're starting on episode two, but Caroline doesn't even need to revisit Laguna because it is a part of her. It is a part of her marriage. It's a part of her spirit. Yeah. It's a part of her everything. It's her.
It's my entire personality is this season of Laguna Beach. And sorry in advance, I'm a little stuffy and I'm just hearing how stuffy I am now that I have to listen to myself talk. So I apologize and hopefully hopefully my knowledge on Laguna Beach makes you forget about how disgusting I sound right now.
If there's one thing people don't like, it's women with any sort of imperfection.
I know, I'm like
so
leaning off camera to like together. Sneeze. Hold on. Okay. I was watching some of the episodes this morning to catch up and Dan walked by and was like, you don't even need to watch. And I was like, you're right. And I was just like repeating lines. So let's get into it. It's episode two. The black and white affair already happened. We saw what happened, which was that, you know, Lauren and Steven left together. Steven and Kristen were fighting at Pomodoro's in Laguna Beach. And the love triangle is alive and well. So Nora, kick us off. How does this episode start?
One thing that I love about just the format of Laguna Beach is that unlike modern reality, they don't spend a lot of time recapping and then revisiting moments over and over. Like one of my favorite shows, 90 Day Fiance, where you're like every episode when we come back from commercial, we have to rewatch what we just saw. Like they're really trying to stretch. They have enough drama that they can just make a 20-minute episode, shorter than most YouTube videos at this point, without, you know, all killer, no filler. That's what Laguna is. And there's just so much visually happening in these episodes. And Elsie and Lo they walk into the Mac store. Caroline, what did the Mac store signify to
money.
You as a teenager?
Money. Mm. If you were wearing Mac makeup or shopping at Sephora or basically buying anything that was not from the aisle of CVS, you had money. And they were just there. They were like, they show up at South Coast Plaza, which is sort of, you know, the mall of America on the West Coast. And Lo's like, where is the Mac store? And Lauren's like, it's straight through there. And then they show up and like, they're like, the saleswoman absolutely like marks them immediately as like, oh, daddy's credit card, and is like selling them everything in sight. She's like, do you guys have dates tonight? And they're like, no, we're just like friends, and we're like just going to our friends like coffee shop, like open mic, and then we're gonna get sushi. Yeah. Like it's just like kind of a casual night. Can you do my makeup for it? And they,
oh my god, Lo is so terrifying. Lo is so terrifying in this moment. Like if I were an adult meeting a teenager, like Lo is the kind of teenager for whom I cross the street. I will stay in my car if I see a Lo walking by. Like she's so, then she goes to the, she like literally holds her finger up to the makeup artist, holds it up, one finger up in her face and goes, one rule, not too much. I was like, why would you walk into Mac if you don't want too much Mac?
You're literally getting your makeup done for sushi and a coffee shop. And she's literally like, I have one rule. Like, I know you have me marked as I have my daddy's credit card, and I do, but I have one rule, like not too much. And then immediately Lauren's like showing off her art school degree that she doesn't have yet, but she one day will. And she's like, isn't it true that browns actually bring out blues? And the Mac makeup artist is like, yes, you're so smart. And Lauren's like, and Lo's like, okay, we can do that. Like, yeah, super bronze me up. Because that's what you were doing in 2004. Yes, yes. You were fucking, I would just put bronzer on my face like it was foundation.
Yes, yes, 100%. And then it's like the tones of eye makeup that I was wearing were basically orange. And it might have been truly inspired by this episode. A lot happened in this episode that was that brought me back where I was like, oh, God, I did that. Oh, I did that.
Well, Nora, I have blue eyes. So that did really stick with me. I was like, brown, blue.
Yeah.
Got it.
I also have blue eyes, obviously. Okay. Yeah. Okay. More than one person can have blue eyes, Caroline.
Okay. I didn't say I owned it, but if we're going to talk about it, yeah, I do own it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have blue eyes.
Just okay, so everyone knows.
We have blue eyes. Okay, Trey.
Greta Thunberg of Laguna Beach making his appearance as just this is pre Obama getting the youth involved. Like Dan actually walked by the TV this morning and said Trey was actually the only cool person. And I was like, what? It's so not cool. And he was like, at the time, if in 2004 you were like a rich white man who was like actually interested in like the global crisis of like Trey definitely protested the Iraq war. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. From watching this episode, I was like, I don't know what his nonprofit is. He just keeps being like, yeah, it's young people. It is like, you know, it's going to be young people. Okay. Like taking on like the issues, engaging with and solidifying across. And he keeps saying in this episode, expose. He's like, he's on the phone. So he's like, I want you to come play guitar. I want to expose you.
I want to expose you.
I was like,
okay, well,
and then his phone dies after he tells a kid, I want to expose you.
Miles Tanzer tweeted in 2020, Active Young America on Laguna Beach was the original Occupy Wall Street. And also, Active Young America is closed.
Caroline, I'm completely blocked from my memory. The moment at the coffee shop, first of all, Lo and Elsie are so fucking bored. They're so bored.
Well, first of all, they go, they're in the car. Okay, we're getting a little.
Sorry.
Wackadoo. So Trey's trying to bring people in to play at this open mic coffee shop to expose Active Young America. And in order to expose Active Young America, he wants you, because you have a great voice, to come and he wants to expose you also. So Lo and Lauren, having already gotten their makeup done for the event at MAC, are in the car. And Lo is like, I think what Trey is doing is like cool. Like, I think it's cool. I would give them money. And then she goes, but I don't want to stay too long. Like, I'm not really into like, you know, the whole like hippie like guitar thing. But like, I'll make a donation. And Lauren's like, you'll give them money, but you won't give them an hour of your time. And Lo is like, it's just not my it's not my scene. And then we get to the coffee shop, and it is a lot of like hippie artsy kids because, Nora, I don't know if you know this, Laguna Beach is a really artsy town. Mm-hmm. It is like the art capital of Orange County. Like it's kind of liberal. I know. It's kind of liberal. It's where it's very papyrus font. I mean, the only way I can describe it.
Yes,
like, oh, like I used to be, you know, my husband used to own this like pharmaceutical company.
It's very paper source.
So a lot of these kids are just like direct descendants of papyrus font. And they're in this coffee shop. And they're like, and the guy's getting exposed by singing his song. And Lo and Lauren are like literally just like standing outside in like really deep cut halter tops.
Oh my God, I loved that deep cut. I was like, God, I remember how amazing everyone's boobs looked in those very long, very low cut.
Long, strappy, like dresses almost.
Yes, dresses over your flare jeans. And yeah, they're very, very bored. And I'm like, are you kidding? This is a coffee shop full of floppy haired boys. Like,
this is where I would have been had I gone to Laguna Beach.
I would have been like, this is me, baby. This is me.
Yeah.
I'm here. And I would have been like,
a lot of like really greasy faces, a lot of like
hemp necklaces,
tie dye and hemp. Yeah. And they're in this coffee shop, and Trey and Polster, his friend, are like, this is Active Young America. Like, this is like a movement. And then his friend goes, this is like civil rights or like women's liberation. It's like he literally compared the richest kids in America sitting in a coffee shop getting exposed to a friend's acoustic guitar as women's liberation. And civil rights.
Yes, and civil rights. Okay. And looking back, I think we can all agree those three things are pillars of American history. Okay. Yeah. Where were you when Polster was...
when Trey exposed active young America to the
where
masses.
Were you? Where were you when Elsie wrote a... when Lowe wrote a check to active young America, when she said, I think it's cool that you care about something. I don't, but I think it's cool that you do. And I want to support the fact that you care about this thing that I don't care about. Okay.
She I don't even know like, what it is.
She has the most intense, like, you know, housewife energy. Like
for a 17 year old.
16. Yeah. I was like, that's what terrifies me. She's like, she's wearing like she's wearing pearls that are probably real, and she's wearing that the sterling silver beaded Tiffany bracelet. Like she's got that sort of aggressive. That's her casual jewelry, is a $400 bracelet. She is fucking very intense. And we skate through. It's like, meanwhile, you know, Active Young America is going to change the face of what something at some point.
Something. It's a movement. Well, I just want to let you know that. That Trey went to Bard, and on the bard.edu website, Trey brought Active Young America to Bard and made it a club at Bard. And the mission statement says, this club is currently inactive. Our mission statement is to inspire young people to adopt activism as a lifestyle by exposing them to youth empowerment, by fostering community, and by nourishing young culture. A lot of words that truly say nothing. So we still don't know. We just literally like active. What kind, it actually, honestly, I mean, I know it wasn't like this at the time because it couldn't have been, but it's a little dog whistly. It's like, we support free speech. It's like, okay, yeah, which part? Like, okay. Like we, you know, we support the right to protest. What are you protesting? Like, say it, you know?
Say it.
Anyway, so what are Kristen and Jessica, her friend Jessica, doing while all the hippies at the coffee shop are becoming exposed to the next women's liberation movement?
Oh my God. So Morgan and Christina are...
This is
like a pivotal moment that literally the thread will not be picked up for several episodes, and this should upset you. Christina is so excited because she got into SMU, and I don't know if that's Southern Methodist. Okay, I was like, it's either Southern Methodist or it's like San Marin. Okay,
Southern Methodist,
baby.
I just gotta say, Nora, Dan was in the room, and he starts reciting Morgan's lines. So it's a family affair here.
It's a family affair.
So she got into SMU. She calls Morgan and like, what's that conversation looking like?
I mean, you know, Morgan's like, look, I got the letter from BYU. And Christina's like, don't open it without me. The intensity of high school friendships where like you would want to do that with like your friends versus your parents is just like,
yes,
so funny to me. But
so they meet at the beach
and first they have to go through all of this existential angst, which is like, this town, while they're sitting in like the most gorgeous place on the planet, this has nothing for us. Okay, we've got to get the hell out of this like one track town. Like I've had enough of all these sluts with their dad's money. Like Morgan is like, she's like truly guns blazing, like fuck everyone in this town because they have been finger blasted somewhere. probably will be.
I heard Kristen got her salad tossed. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Trey's out there exposing everyone. They're like, we are. And then Christina's like, you know, we're both virgins, or like, you know, that's sort of the subtext that I think that comes up later.
They're like, we're not staying. We have morals.
Everyone in this town is a loose fucking woman, and I don't want to be. And meanwhile, Morgan's holding her envelope from Brigham Young University, and every kid who went to school before everything went online knows that a big envelope is a packet, and it means you got in, and a tiny, flimsy piece of shit envelope means you didn't get in. And
yeah, although
this is the part that Dan.
This envelope was deceptive because in my experience, the envelope that says you didn't get in is just it doesn't have like even a window to it. It's not a long piece of paper. It's tri-folded into a letter size. This was like, you know, a piece of unfolded 8.5 by 11 paper. And she should have known from the first sentence when it doesn't start with congratulations, baby.
But she doesn't.
She doesn't.
But she doesn't. And this is what Dan was reciting from the kitchen.
She says to Christina, before she opens the envelope, I didn't apply to any other schools. This is it for me.
Yeah.
This is it for me.
I
have no other schools. There's nothing else
Now she opens the letter. And this is what Dan was reciting from heart because it's so fucking funny. I mean, it's not funny. It's heartbreaking. And I remember when I got a deferral letter from Northeastern and I felt the same way. Mm-hmm. But she's like, "Dear Morgan, due to the unprecedented number of applicants this year, we regret to inform you." She like didn't get there. And you're right. Like it would have been like, congratulations. That would have been the first word. Yeah. But it was like, "Thanks for applying to BYU. Due to the unprecedented number of applicants this year, we regret to inform you."
Yeah.
"I didn't get in." And then Christina goes, "Are you okay?
Are you okay?" Morgan's just like, and like
Morgan's like, "I'm gonna tie a rock to my ankle and like step out into the surf.
Yes. And like Caroline, she says to her before she opens the envelope, Morgan says, "Even if I don't get in, like I'm gonna go up there. I'm gonna be a part of this scene." What scene is at BYU?
She's like, "I'm going to move there anyway, and I'm going to just be a
part
there.
Of the morality scene, okay? I want to be a part of, like, the slut-shaming, like, we hate whores scene because, like, nothing's going to keep me from not having sex, okay? Not even getting rejected from a sex-hating school. Like, no. It's such a bummer." And they just leave it. They leave it with Christina going, "Are you okay?" Like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
and then Morgan goes, "What am I supposed to do now?" And then like it just like cuts. And that's all you hear about it for this entire fucking episode.
Yeah. The energy is sad. It's so sad. It's so sad. Mm-hmm. But you know what's not sad is the time-honored tradition of trying to play house when you are a 16-year-old girl and deciding that like best friend are going to like make dinner for your boyfriend.
We're going to go to Wild Oats Market and we're going to buy like some chicken and some spaghetti and we're going to have an inane conversation while we're doing it. They literally get into that and they're like, "Should we get chicken?" And then Kristen's like, "Yeah, definitely." And Jessica's like, "Yeah, but like not a lot because like a lot of chicken in your spaghetti is gross."
So I'm like, "What?" I'm like, no.
I was like, "Huh? What?"
Cannot relate.
Picking things out. They get feta cheese and then they're at the deli counter. And one of them says, "Do boys even like feta cheese?" And then they're at the deli counter. And this is the funniest part to me. For some reason, it stuck with me forever. Kristen goes, "Should I just say like half a pound?" And Jessica goes, "Yeah." And then there's like a beat of silence. And Jessica goes, "Wait, half a pound or like have a pound?" And Kristen's like, "Have a pound." It's like the worst who's on first ever. And they end up getting one boneless, skinless chicken breast for four people. And Jessica goes, "It's okay because like we'll just like cut it up into little pieces." And then Kristen goes, "Yeah, for sure." And then the supermarket scene ends and they go to they go back to AYA being exposed and Lo and Lauren are already like on their way out. They're like, "We're going to sushi." Mm-hmm. Like we listened to like half a song. We're done. Have a song or half a song.
Have a song.
We're back.
Yeah. They listen to one.
Now we're back at.
Yes.
No, I mean, no, they listened to one. You're going to say something funny. I know it.
And I wasn't. It wasn't that funny.
Okay. Well, now where are they?
Okay, is this Steven's house or Dieter's house? I couldn't tell.
Dieter's house.
Okay, because I had
Dieter's house.
Here's one gripe about the Paramount Plus app. The closed captions cover the entire fucking screen.
Yeah.
And so they cover the Chirons. I was like, okay. So I love this house because it's such a normal house. There's like China hutches. There's mismatched frames on the wall. Like the couches are like deep and leather, and it's just cozy. There's a dining room set. It matches the hutch, and you know, the kitchen has it's just a regular home, and I love it so much. And the girls walk in and they're like, get out of here. You guys don't even know what Dieter says. Feta cheese.
Yeah. And Dieter goes, what's feta cheese? And then they're like, oh my God, feta cheese. I knew it. Feta. And like Steven and Dieter are complaining because they're like, ew, you went to the organic market and got like organic everything.
Cake. You got organic and then, cake mix.
Yeah. And then Dieter goes, hey, yo, Steven, you want to go to Jack in the Box?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, of course, fast food. And the girls are like, oh my God, stop it. Stop it.
And they make like bow tie pasta and they all sit at the table together and they're drinking what might be water out of wine goblets with like a little blue rim to them, you know? I also was like, where are the parents? Like, are the parents like, okay, I guess we'll leave so you can have a date and tape it for a TV show? What the fuck? And the girls are like so proud, except everything is so good, right? Like the chicken is so good, like the noodles are so good, but the sauce is hard R, says Kristen.
Hard R. They say R word. They say the R word. And yeah, I literally looked up from like what I was doing and I was like, whoa, like, wow. So
yeah, times change. They change quick, baby. They change quick.
It was reminiscent of the scene in, I know you know the movie well, Christmas Vacation, where Catherine has burned the turkey and it's so dry and they're all trying to eat it and all you hear is like the clanging of dishes, and that's the kind of silence that's happening in Dieter's dining room right now. It's like no one's talking, and one of the girls, is that you or me? Oh, it's me. Hold on. Oh,
it's like, is what me? Call.
Is what me? Hold on a second.
I have to take this.
I don't have to take it. Hold on. Recording. Hold on. Okay. So there's a clanging of dishes, the clanging of glasses, and then the boys don't say anything. And Kristen just offers up like, you know, everything's really good except for the sauce. But what do we know about sauce and food, Nora? If there's sauce on the food, everything fucking tastes like the sauce. So it doesn't really matter that the fucking bow tie pasta has been cooked within 12 minutes of its life. It's just like everything's really good except, you know, for all of it. But other than that, it's so good.
Yeah, they have like, and then just have no energy and none. Rapport at all. And you know, like then Deidre's like, what about the cake? And Kristen, what's her friend's name?
Jessica's
like, oh, I forgot. And she's like, oh, it's done. It's like goo.
It's like jiggling. It's like J-E-L-L-O. It's alive.
Pan to put it in. And then they sit back down for more chewing, quiet chewing and water sipping.
And clanking.
And then Kristen's phone rings because she didn't turn off her ringer, which was honestly hard to do. Okay, you couldn't just like press a button and silence your phone. It was like, oh, you have to go into setting, or you have to turn the volume all the way down. It was a lot. And plus we loved our ringtones. And she just lets it ring. Steven's like, you're going to get that. He's immediately so angry at her in a way that made me so uncomfortable.
He's so he's like, are you gonna get that? And she's like, no, it's not that important to me. And he's like, so why didn't you turn off your phone if it's not that important to you? And she's like, I forgot, I was making you dinner.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it's annoying me. Do you want me to get it? And she's like, no, I don't care. And then 2 seconds later, he's like, was that a yes or a no? And she's like, no. The phone stops ringing and then it starts ringing again. And then Kristen rolls her eyes and gets up and like gets the phone and she goes, hey, Sam. So she's like, hey, Steven, it's a boy on the other line.
Yeah.
It's another boy calling. You really wanted me to pick up the phone? Do you feel bad that you made me pick up the phone now? Yeah. It's another boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Kristen is playing fucking four-dimensional chess and Steven's playing checkers and he has no idea. And I just, I love like all of her self-assurance. I really, really do.
Me too.
I'm inspired by it as an adult woman. And what I also love is like, I would have overstayed my welcome just to get a boy to pay any attention to me. And she's like, bye. I made you dinner. See you later.
Yeah. She's like, enjoy the sauce.
Yeah.
Bye. Sam's calling.
She's like so observant. She's like, yeah, Steven only likes me if I am all over him. Like, yep. That's all he likes about me. And like Steven and Dieter are both just like rude. And they're like, oh, let's throw away this cake. Like, God. And then Steven says to Dieter, like about, oh no, this is at the bonfire. Sorry. It's, but yeah, he's just like a jerk. He's a jerk.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens?
The other bonfire, baby. There's a bonfire at the beach. There's a bonfire at the beach, and like Steven has a lot of time beforehand to like talk to the boys about his relationship issues. And yep. But first he's like at the skate shop, and someone's at like his coworker is asking him like, oh, how's it going juggling two girls? And he's like, I'm not juggling two girls. And he's like, sure. And he says to this guy like, oh, well, you know, Kristen's just a lot more comfortable than Lauren. And I'm like, you think sitting at a table, not speaking to somebody, just drilling at her with like questions about your own deep insecurities is comfortable? Like, you think?
Yeah,
you have
I think what he meant is I am more comfortable being mean to Kristen. Like, he's like, Lauren's standards are higher, so I have to try harder. And with Kristen, I don't really have to try, except he still doesn't get it. He does have to try because Kristen's standards are way higher than Lauren's.
Yes.
That's where everyone gets confused about Kristen versus Lauren, is Kristen actually is the one who has higher standards than Lauren. Mm-hmm. Lauren will take whatever scraps Steven can throw, and Steven interprets that as having high standards because
she's
happy about nothing. Right, exactly. And she's like a good girl. And so I don't know, a whole thesis could be written to expose that,
but Trey is there's busy. Definitely okay.
Trey is busy. He's and right. First women's lib, then civil rights, then Active Young America, then exposing Kristen.
Active Young America could be rebooted as like a conservative think tank, and I'm surprised it hasn't been.
Well, that's absolutely. I mean, like, there were probably members of Active Young America marching in Charlottesville with their tiki torches.
Yes. It does give that sort of energy for sure.
Nora, do you know what Trey does now?
Oh, no, I don't. What does he do?
He's a designer for Vera Wang.
What?
Yeah. He's like a clothing designer. He's a fashion designer. It's crazy.
Wow.
I mean, I'm glad that he rejected capitalism so much. That
he did. He really did. Wow.
So there's always like a surf and skate employee that's sort of like injected into the situation to be like to remind everybody what the plot is about, which is that there's a love triangle. But like so far, like zero love triangle.
0% love triangle. It's a straight line. And Steven's in the middle. That's it.
This episode was called The Bonfire, but they were there for like 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just go into episode three.
Yeah, we're just although you're missing two key plot points of the bonfire. Okay. Missing two key plot points. One, they're lighting the fire, and who comes to steal the show again? Jessica Simpson.
Chris.
Because
Dieter
goes, "You're like Jessica Simpson with lighter fluid." What? Okay. It's like we can't even just talk about a love triangle. It's all about Jessica once again.
All about Jessica Simpson. I mean, it was 2004. This was the height of Jessica Simpson, like chicken of the sea. I mean,
it's chicken of the sea. And then Polster is talking Elsie's ear off about, potential movement of the 1950s. And he's like, so, and it's just like they artfully like just put him droning on and on in the background while these children drink from single use plastic bottles. And, you know, the hoodies are small and up and, you know, high waisted, but the jeans are low. And it's just such an interesting aesthetic period of American history, and that episode is over, and it was beautiful, and we're on to the next episode.
It shows Steven, Lauren, and who else goes? I forget now. Dieter?
Wait, what are you talking about?
When they go to LA in the episode.
Yeah, I have notes way before that. Way before.
Oh, okay.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.